Raymond, how's things in London?
You know, for a change, sunny and nice. It's been freezing, but sunny, which as long as it's sunny, I really don't mind the temperature.
Well, it's nice and warm in Florida.
Oh, please, don't.
Always warm in Florida. It's good to hear from you, and we're going to chat a little bit today about Shadow Tag, which was kind of your creation. So why don't you tell the folks, how did it come about?
Well, okay, I mean, you remember 10 years ago was a pretty great time for us, exactly 10 years ago, when both our Templar books came out, your book, Templar Legacy, that kicked off the Cotton Malone series, and my book, The Last Templar, which was my first novel. And I was thinking about that about, I don't know, 4 months ago, maybe. I was thinking, you know, we should do something special because it's the 10th anniversary and it was such a big moment for us. And I also thought that so many of the fans have emailed over the years saying, when are Cotton Malone and Sean Riley, are they going to be in a story together? And then I remember, and you know that book we did a couple of years ago, Face Off, where we were all paired off into teams of two authors. So I did the short story with Linwood Barclay, which had my character and his character. You did one with James Rollins, and I thought, you know, and it was so much fun, and it was so well received. Everyone really loved that book, and I thought maybe it's time. Why don't we do something like that with Riley and Cotton Malone?
And pretty imaginative what you did there too. I thought you were just going to write a story with just the two characters in it, but you went a little crazy, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what I was eating or drinking that night, but I, you know, I was literally about to start it, and it just, you know, something really fun occurred to me is that we know these characters so well. And I thought rather than give our readers a kind of a traditional story, which would have Riley and Cotton Malone tucked into some kind of crazy adventure with something that has to do, something from history and something threatening the planet, or, you know, I thought, let's have some fun. And I don't know where the idea came from, but I thought, why don't you and I be in it? Why don't we be, you know, because I was actually thinking, okay, in terms of plots, you know, we're always coming up with, you know, we've got these stacks of potential plots in mind, right? But I thought, who better to design, like, really, who better to come up with a plot that someone could actually, some group, like some one of these nuthead groups that are out there, could actually try and execute than thriller writers, than, you know, people like you and me who do this for a business. So I thought, What if a bunch of bad guys actually kidnapped us, you and me, and forced, in order for us to come up with some amazing idea that they can go out and execute and cause damage?
And
that's
where it
came from.
It
wrote itself. It was so much fun. I honestly can't remember having enjoyed writing something so much.
That was kind of when I read the first draft, when you sent me the draft, I read it and I saw, you know, there I was in the story. I've never been in a story before. And it was it's pretty cool to have it in there. And my contribution was I did an edit on it and I made some additions and some changes and tightened up the voices a little bit with regard to Cotton and myself. And I gave it a title. I gave it the title of Shadow Tag, which just kind of came to me very quickly too. But the story has that great whimsical little fun aspect to it, and it's fresh and it's a little different. And we've had great success with it, looks like, so far. What have we had, about 18,000 people have enjoyed it?
Yeah, I think with the borrowed books over 20, because, you know, Amazon have this thing where you can. I'm not sure how it works. I literally found out about it when we brought it out, but that you can actually borrow books from Amazon and read them. So they count them. When I look at the dashboard, it shows the amount of borrowed pages read, and then you kind of extrapolate how many books from that. But,
so it's about 20,000 then.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. That's very good. And the idea was to introduce my fans to you and to introduce your fans to me and maybe hopefully pick up some new fans. And it, it did really well. And what a lot of people don't realize when they read the story, it's got a lot of people we know in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. I think we could do more on that front. Like, I think because we have Lee Child as kind of the potential evil mastermind, and James Rowlands as well. And behind the evil mastermind, behind a prank, not behind the actual real thing, I have to say. But I think we could do more. And you know, what I also thought was fun was we've talked about. So you know, you're key to. You're one of the founders, I guess, of ITW.
I was one of the founding members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the International Thriller Writers Association, and we do Thriller Fest every year in July in New York City, which is always so much fun. And we've talked about should there be a Thriller Fest in London? Couldn't there be a Thriller Fest in London for Europe? You know, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to set that story, to kick off that story at the first Thriller Fest in London?
Yeah. So, I've actually had some writers send me some emails saying, are you really thinking about having a Thriller Fest in London? it's pretty, you know, the realistic aspect of it was really cool. And and what a lot of readers don't know, something very, Raymond wrote The Last Templar, and I wrote The Templar Legacy. And these are the same story. We basically wrote the same story told in a totally different way. And the cool thing about it was you wrote your story years before. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. I had no clue what you were doing. You had no clue what I was doing. And we wrote the same story told in a different way. We had this like connection. And then you write this story, Shadow Tag. And in the story, Cotton Malone does an escape. A very interesting escape with a mattress. And amazingly, I had written the exact same escape for Cotton Malone months earlier in the book I was working on, and you had no idea I had written that. And when I read that in the short story, I went, my gosh, I mean, it's like we're connected. Our brains sort of think the same. It was because that's a very odd escape that we have in there.
It is, totally. I mean, when you emailed me and when after you read it and you said that you'd written that in the last book, it was really spooky. I mean, it's a very unusual. It's a really I've never seen it done anywhere.
No, I mean, and I came across that story years ago, and I was going to use it as part of Cotton's heritage, and in the next book, in the book in 2017, you're going to learn how Cotton Malone got his name, and this is part of how he got his name. And it's actually, I don't know if you know this or not, it's actually real. There was a famous Confederate spy who actually escaped Union forces by hiding in a mattress like that.
Oh.
Yes, actually, he actually did it. He actually real. And so I came across that many years ago. It was just fascinating because my wife Elizabeth was read the short story, and she came in and said, "Well, you told Raymond about your mattress thing then." And I went, "No, he got that all completely independent of me." It's like we're connected. A lot of people don't know too. We're both Lebanese as well. Well, so we have another connection there.
This would be fun. I'll mention that when the first time you and I met. So the way Steve and I met was when Templar came out 6 weeks before yours. You wrote me an email, which was a really lovely email saying, "Hey, I'm Steve. Congratulations! You know, your first book's hitting the New York Times list. This is a really cool achievement." And you know, to have someone I didn't know in my industry. I came from film and TV, so. For someone to reach out to you and congratulate you, potentially a totally competitive project in film and TV would be unheard of. I mean, you might get some poisoned muffins or something, but to get a really nice email like that, unheard of. So I was so heartened by this. And so I emailed you back and we became friends. And then a year later, you came to London with Elizabeth. And we went out to lunch and I had booked us a Lebanese lunch, me being Lebanese, mm-hmm. thinking, "Hey, let's go have lunch." And then you sat down and you're like, you know what? I ordered the stuff from the waiter thinking, you know, as I do with guests who I assume don't know Lebanese food, saying I'll do the ordering because it's all like food that people share. And then you go like, "Yeah, but you know what? The hummus, I think I won't have the lamb. I think let's have some of that." And I'm like, "Hang on, what? How do you know all this?" And you went, "What, don't you know? My grandmother was Lebanese."
It was insane. My grandmother was full blooded. My mother was full blooded, and so I'm half, and you're full.
Yeah.
And it's just we and I had no idea. I didn't have a clue. We discovered something else about each other at that moment in time, too. It's this interesting connection. We've had that connection for years now, and it was wonderful to do this story. It's just one of those kind of fun things, not meant to be serious, supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, exactly what it is. Hopefully it's generating some interest. I know that your new book just came out a couple of days ago.
Yesterday.
Tell us about the end game.
Well, I didn't set out to write a series. I wrote The Last Templar I didn't have any expectations. I was working happily as a screenwriter. The Last Templar was something I'd written as a screenplay 10 years before, which had a long saga, which I won't bore anyone with right here. But when I finally chose to adapt it into a novel, I really didn't expect much to come out of it. So when it became a success, I hadn't at all conceived it as part of a series. I hadn't conceived that I'd be coming back to Riley. And the next book I did, The Sanctuary, had nothing to do with those characters. It was a standalone, and the one after was also a standalone. And then after a while, I had an idea for another Templar story. So I came back to Riley, and I found that I enjoyed writing him. And after that, I wrote a couple of more Riley books that were different in that they were in the first person. And Riley became kind of a much more important character for me because I was writing him in the first person. So my friends who were reading it would say, you know, we could hear your voice through him before, but now even more. Like it's even though I'm nowhere, remotely as heroic or as interesting as he is. The end game is the closing book of this kind of journey that I started with Riley, for a while. It's the end game in a way, but it's a book in which Riley closes a couple of things that have been nagging at him over the last couple of books. He's been chasing after a rogue CIA agent who was involved in a plot that had to do with Riley's son that he discovered he didn't know he had. And at the end of the last book, he realizes that this guy might even have had something to do with Riley's dad's supposed suicide. So this book is a story where the plot involves a covert group of government assassins who've been operating for decades. This is what Riley discovers, which has a lot to do with what's going on in our world right now. You know, it's about the drone wars, it's about surveillance, it's about all that. So that's the bigger issue, the theme that's at the core of what Riley's got himself into. But separately, it's also a very personal story because the guy who's involved with all this stuff could also have something really nasty to do with Riley's past. So it's kind of a collision of his current investigation and something that's bringing up these ghosts from his past. And he has to leave the FBI. He becomes a pursued man because he won't give up until he finds what's really going on. And so it's really Riley's end game, and which is why I chose that title.
Now it's Amazon exclusive, correct?
This one is an Amazon exclusive. It's the first time we're doing it as an exclusive ebook through Amazon.
I'm checking now, and your ranking is under 500, which is quite good. And you've got 9 straight 5-star reviews. Did you pay those people?
handsomely.
Are they all friends?
They're all me. They're all basically I created.
That's a hell of a run. 9 straight 5-star reviews.
Well, I think the first reviewers will be some long-term fans who wait for the book, who'll read it as soon as it comes out.
Yeah.
If it keeps going that well, I'll be super delighted.
That's just marvelous to have that kind of run in there. I always give my friend Jim Rollins that all the time because when his books come out, he has like 15 5-star reviews that come instantaneously with every book. And it's the same 15 people. His writers group, his close friend, they all do it at one time. And he gets a straight run of 15 straight. So that's a great run. It's doing very well right now. Is there going to be more Riley books?
Well, not in the immediate future. I mean, there is a book called The Kill List, which is a Riley book, which may follow this one. But I'm working on another project, which is a very big kind of a Last Templar kind of a big issue book that won't be about it won't have Riley because it's set in a in a kind of a different world. And so it's so I've kind of put Kill List aside because this other one is just too
much.
It's too much, and it's very timely. It's very much linked to what's going on right now in our world with ISIL, with all the rhetoric about immigration and foreign cultures invading, and you know, all that kind of fear that's very much very very much palpable here in Europe and in the U.S.
Your book is out now. I've got another 3 weeks, and April 5, the next Cotton Malone adventure will come. It's called The 14th Colony, and it will be in stores in e-books and physical books and all over coming on April 5. It's Cotton's 11th adventure. And a very interesting one for him because it deals with something from the Cold War, and something very fascinating. On June 7th, 1982, in the Vatican, Ronald Reagan and John Paul II met. And they met alone in a room for 50 minutes. It's the only time in history that a pope and a president have met totally alone.
Wow.
And to this day, we have no idea what they talked about. There were no notes taken, no agenda, no nothing. It was a private conversation. And a lot of people think that there was a deal made at that time, a deal between the two, where the leader of the moral leader of a billion Catholics was going to do one thing, and the leader of the free world was going to do another. And their objective was to end communism.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea if they made that deal, but what we do know is over the next 6 years together, they brought the Soviet Union to its knees. And so I was intrigued by that, and so I've woven this Cotton Malone story that deals with that and the 20th Amendment to the Constitution, which is the Presidential Succession Amendment, and an interesting question of what happens when the president-elect and the vice-president-elect are both killed before they take the oath of office. There's actually a flaw in our law here that is quite interesting. And so this is my first novel with a ticking clock. I actually have a ticking clock this time, ticking down to noon on January 20th. It's about a 45-hour adventure as this clock ticks down. So it's kind of my take on the old spy novel, of what the spy
novel
used to be.
Sounds like a movie to me.
Oh, I wish so. I wish it would be, and it'd be great. It definitely has all the elements there. I wanted to take a shot at the old spy novel, and so it has all those intrigue.
But I mean, I know that you've got a TV series under development of the Cotton Malone books. Would this book automatically be part of that deal, or would you be able to talk to people about it if
I would have, except as happens with all those deals, the option expired. So they did not pick up the option. They bought
the option. Oh, it is? Okay. So the rights are back with you.
The rights are now with me. Yeah, they're back open.
Okay.
The rights were there for 2 years. They did not go through with it, so now I own them again. So any producers out there who are looking for a great show, Cotton Malone is available and there, and I believe Sean Riley is too, right?
Sean Riley, well, totally is, except that they made that first, the four-hour TV version, which you may have been luckily spared from. Of La Semper.
but they don't own the rights to him forever.
No,
right?
No. They
don't.
I only watched the first 10 minutes of it, so I can't.
I hate to say anything bad about another. Yeah. You had nothing to do with the movie, though.
But say anything you like. I'm so detached from it. But with this book, I think you know the because I found the premise. I've only read the intro, which I love. And I can't wait to read the rest of it, but the premise is so timely right now, especially, you know, and it's an election year,
and the
Reagan Pope meeting, it's just all super timely, and structurally, it's a ticking clock, which lends itself perfectly.
Which is exactly what I've been trying to do there. One thing I've said all along, one of the best fight scenes and action scenes writers in the business is you. You write great action scenes, great fact scenes, because you write very visually. It comes from your screenwriting abilities, I'm sure.
And so I've
studied the way you do your fight scenes and your action scenes, the way you pace those very well. They're excellently done. It's a talent you have in doing that. And
thank you.
I have the Endgame on my loaded down, and I'm going to be reading it next week because I get a few days off next week and at the beach, and it's going with me. So I'm going to read it then.
That sentence was perfect, except that you said the beach.
The beach.
As
yes.
I'm sitting
we actually
here
have a beach in Florida. We have a
as
lot
I'm sitting
of
here in 1 degree, kind of, we're looking at frost in the garden and at the,
oh, no,
the tops of the cars and stuff.
It's 85 degrees outside. Winter is over here. And next week I will be down where it's sunny and sandy and there's water.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well,
you know, I have a thought here. What if I take the 14th colony and turn it into a 2-hour screenplay? Which is my first career. I'll write it as a screenplay on spec, and then we go out together as co-producers, and we go to Hollywood and we say, here's the movie.
Wouldn't that be fun? I'd even like it to be like an Amazon video or Hulu or Netflix. I'll take any of
that. No, but Amazon. Amazon is the natural place because they're making great TV.
Oh, they're making great stuff right now.
And their TV is... Yeah, and their TV is the
so
product they love.
You don't get canceled there either. You stay forever.
You're
up forever.
Well, in the case of The Last Templar, I'm not sure that would have been a good thing.
Well, like
but
I'm
we
watching,
do a decent job.
I'm watching the second season of Bosch right now. It's well done and really well put together, and it will be there forever for people to enjoy. And I would. I'd take that as well as I would a major motion picture. I think it's just wonderful. There's so many more places today for that to happen. And maybe one day. There's a lot of interest in my stuff, but no checks. No checks.
Yeah, but I think when your guys took the option to it, Amazon wasn't where it is today in terms of TV production.
And
they're doing, and what they want to do is they want to make TV shows based on great series of books because they make great TV and then they also sell a ton of books. And
they want to tie
Malone.
It together. That's right. We
and
have
in,
a
in
new
your
project.
Case, you've got that. You've got that with Cotton Malone.
Yeah, there's
and
a new project coming
expensive.
Called 12 Rooms that's going to do that. They're using, I have a character in one of the rooms and they're going to do a show on that. And then tie it into the books, which is very interesting. And that, you're right, Amazon loves to do that.
Yeah.
So this is. I mean, hopefully one day we can only hope. But right now, you and I have to sell some books.
We do. We definitely
have to
do.
Sell those books.
I have to sell some digital files.
You're doing good, though. It's doing great. Yeah. It's doing great. So I think we've given everyone a little taste of everything today. I hope they'll go out and check out Shadow Tag and then check out The Endgame and then check out The 14th Colony. So I guess from Florida, I will say goodbye to you now and enjoy the cold.
Well, thank you very much. I hope please take some suntan cream. Please make sure you don't burn too much in that sweltering heat, and please keep me posted as to how if there's any kind of micro cloud that you spot one day. If there's like an inch of blotted out sun that bothers you, please let me know.
I shall let you know. Goodbye, my friend.
Bye bye.